A look at Australia's growth and how plastics are killing sea life.
The sea turtles will actually eat the plastic, and it actually causes a blockage.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Australia's economy has seen years of uninterrupted growth, but latest figures out today are down slightly from last quarter's 0.9% growth. Carlos Cacho is an economist at UBS.
We did have a pickup on business investment and public investment, but consumption is still 60% of GDP. And without the consumer picking up, it's going to be really hard to keep these decent numbers up.
Now, a recent report talked about how strong growth in Sydney and Melbourne basically account for two-thirds of economic growth over the last year. Do people there worry about the way that growth is distributed?
I think the bigger worry is not only is the growth coming from the cities, but more so the benefits of growth are going to the cities. And that's probably most starkly in the house price market. So we've seen Sydney and Melbourne home prices increase well above the rest of Australia, which is widening income and wealth inequality.
Consumer debt is also a pretty big problem.
Australia does have just about the highest level of household debt in the world, most of that in mortgages. The problem with that is we're no longer seeing incomes rise in line with debt. And so going forward, it's going to be very hard to sustain that level of debt without serious pickup in investment and consumption.
Carlos Cacho, let's do the numbers. Asia saw losses overnight, with Hong Kong's Hang Seng dropping 2% amid weaker metal prices and monetary policy jitters. Now, by 2050, there will be more plastic in the oceans than fish. At the UN Environment Summit in Kenya today, nations will agree to keep plastics out of the oceans, but targets were dumped thanks to US opposition. Casper van der Geer runs Watamu Turtle Watch in a protected beach reserve in Kenya.
We've got packaging here from Indonesia, a small bottle, sort of yellowish bottle that washed up. There's a packaging from a Japanese coffee pack. A lot of the plastic actually floats, and the sea turtles will actually eat the plastic, and it actually causes a blockage. They can't poo anymore. There are all sorts of ways that these turtles will eventually die from plastic ingestion.
Are you able to help them?
We are brought very regularly turtles in distress. We then start administering laxatives together with anti-parasite, and eventually, but it takes a long time, the blockage moves. We then have the glorious job of actually collecting the feces and sifting it out to try and figure out what caused the blockage.
Now, Indonesia is the world's second biggest plastic polluter after China. The BBC's Rebecca Henschke says it's made up of thousands of islands and there's no waste management.
Basically, you've got a situation where you don't have the infrastructure to deal with it, but you have a booming economy where the middle class is just jumping onto a plastic economy, fast food, disposable goods, and also the poor. They buy very small products that have a high amount of packaging.
What is Indonesia doing? Is it like some countries, for example, at least trying to ban plastic bags?
Well, the country tried it in the capital, Jakarta. They put a price on plastic bags that was then later withdrawn. It wasn't working. People were willing to pay that extra amount. Bali has particularly looked at it. There's been a movement by two young school children to try and make Bali this tourism hub. Also in some of the outer islands, this is a real issue for tourism. So they are looking at it.
Is the idea that plastic will replace fish by 2050? Does it have any traction?
Well, I was recently in a very remote area of Indonesia with the fishery ministry, and the minister there told the fishermen there this shocking statistic. Everybody laughed. The idea for these fishermen in this incredibly beautiful part of the archipelago was quite ludicrous. But people are starting to worry. I think the change will really come from the tourism sector. It's largely selling its beaches, and if its beaches are covered with trash, then people aren't going to come.
Rebecca Henschke. Japan's prime minister wants to increase women in jobs, but with public spending on early childcare low, is womenomics destined to fail? Soo Ping Chan reports.
Meet Aya Ushijima. She's a mother, a manager, and she's moving up in the world. Aya works at LifeNet, an online insurance company which encourages flexible working. But being a working mother in Japan It's never that easy.
I work flexible hours, so I'm able to take care of my daughter. But I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I've lived this life for 15 years. And so I've been chronically sleepless.
Oh, hello. Really nice to meet you.
Daisuke Iwate is the boss of LifeNet. He told me why, in a world where just 3% of executives in Japanese-listed companies are women, having more in senior positions is good for business.
I try to have my female colleagues sit in executive meetings. I just want to make sure that there's always equal representation, because I think that just overall leads to better judgment.
I've come to talk to Naomi, who told me about the struggles she faced when it came to getting her two-year-old a nursery place.
We were told by the building that we're living in that they're not going to renew our rental contract because we are having a baby. Now we know where we'll live, so now I'll start visiting all these nurseries and signing up, I guess.
Do you think the roles of fathers being at work and mothers at home are very much entrenched in this society still?
Generally, women have more pressure to be good mums and good wives, and people are surprised when, you know, dads cook. No one's surprised when a man eats, but people are surprised when a man cooks for himself and his wife. It's really shocking.
In Tokyo, I'm the BBC's Suping Chan from Marketplace.
And I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.